Stripe is the go-to choice for AI companies, from early-stage startups to scaled enterprises. 78% of the leading AI companies use Stripe to go to market quickly and scale globally. That includes pioneers like NVIDIA, OpenAI, and Perplexity. Stripe has developed cutting-edge tools to improve everything from fraud detection to checkout optimization. Whether you're aiming for incremental gains or planning for enterprise transformation, see how Stripe can help at stripe.com.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Yeah, you're very welcome back. TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address. If you want to get in touch, you can do so at any stage. I'm telling you about my time with the Ireland Gateway to Europe delegation. We are currently in Boston. We are flying home this evening. I think we are on, is it EI136, the Aer Lingus flight from Boston to Dublin. So I will land nice and early in the morning, hopefully sleep on the flight and be fresh as a daisy. But before we came to Boston, we were in Toronto. And again, we were flying with Aer Lingus. So we got the direct flight on Sunday afternoon. I have said this before and I will say it again. When you are traveling, download three apps, right? The first one, if you're flying out of Dublin Airport, download the Dublin Airport app. Download your airlines app. So I have the Aer Lingus app on my phone. It's on my phone the entire time, and I'll tell you why in just a quick second. And the third one is Flight Radar. So the Dublin Airport app is great because it'll tell you the security time, queues, estimation, and all that kind of stuff. It'll also give you updated departure and arrival information. You can get your fast track through that, which I did and is so handy. The Aer Lingus app is great because you can check in, you can manage your flight, you can pick your seat, all that kind of jazz. And then Flight Radar is my secret weapon because there have been many times I would travel quite a bit and there have been many times where, you know, the boarding time appears, but you look out the window and there's no plane there. So what I always do is look at the first leg of the flight. So if I'm flying from, say, Leeds Bradford to Dublin Airport, what I will do is I will check and ensure that the first leg, so the one from Dublin to Leeds, has taken off from Dublin Airport, is on the way, what the estimated time of arrival is. And that way then I'll know that my plane has arrived into Leeds, my estimated departure time will be X, Y, or Z, and I can just chill rather than standing and hovering at the window waiting to see where a plane is. So Flight Radar, Dublin Airport, and Aer Lingus. Now the thing with the Aer Lingus app is, and you know, other airlines have this too, but I would, like my sister, the reason I said Leeds there is that my sister lives in York, so I travel quite a bit between Dublin and Leeds Bradford Airport. So I can see on the Aer Lingus app the flight times, I can obviously book my flight, but I can also build up my loyalty points. I am a huge advocate for availing of airline loyalty programs. Regardless of the airline, it is just worth it. Create your account and watch the points build up. The thing with the Air Club, so Air Club is the loyalty club with Aer Lingus. So you get your air miles, they're called, you move up the tiers essentially. So you can go in at a green level, then you move up to silver and on you go. And as the levels increase, so do the perks. But you also can collect what's called Avios points. And you can collect that at your supermarket, at certain clothing stores, certain makeup stores. And then you can use those points to get discounts on your flights. Like, it's incredible. And this is a proper perk. It's not just that you get a free glass of water or something like that. This is something that has saved me money. And it's completely free to do. You still go to the normal shops that you're going to, but you just sign up, associate your two accounts. So the Air Club account with whatever retailer it is, and then the points build up. So anytime I get a juice in Stephen's Green, there's a fab smoothie bar there. Anytime I get a juice, I'm getting Avios points. As that balance tots up, I can then use it for discounts on flights, discounts on hotels, whatever it may be. Look around and see what airline you're flying with, what their loyalty program is, and how you can build up to get true rewards. That's just my little top tip. Get those apps on your phone if you are traveling over the summer. Now, I mentioned that we flew from Dublin to Toronto on the Aer Lingus flight. So 7 hours in, I look out the window and what do I see? Only a lovely skyline appear. And what struck me straight away was that it reminded me so much of Chicago, the Chicago skyline. We got on the ground, we drove in, we were staying in sort of the financial business district, very tall skyscrapers, very condensed, just exactly what you would expect from any big city. And it was my first time there, as I said earlier on in the show, a gorgeous part of the world. And I went to an event at the Ireland Canada Chamber of Commerce. I was lucky enough to host a panel, met some brilliant people who are doing great work, either Irish companies that have a base in Canada or vice versa. We talked through a wide range of issues. But after that panel, I caught up with Deirdre Giblin, who was the reason we were all there in the first place.
We came here because I know and my members know that the Ireland-Canada business opportunity is huge. But I knew that I needed to amplify that message. And the best way to amplify that is through the noisiest crowd of business people you can ever meet, yeah, who are the Gateway to Europe guys, who I know that you know well. Mm-hmm. So I'm very lucky to have know AD and Robbie and the guys through my day job at National College of Ireland. And this opportunity kind of formed around timing and around, I will say, it's before the whole Mark Carney phenomenon and all of that. This time last year, I heard the guys on News Talk from Boston and I got jealous. And I said, maybe we could bring this group to Toronto. I know they have their very strong roots in Boston, but maybe we could expand the trip. And in doing that, we started something that actually became much bigger than I ever thought it was going to be.
Why Toronto rather than anywhere else in Canada?
It's the gateway. It was like if you come to Ireland, you will go to Dublin first in the main. Toronto is financial services and tech hub. The Mars Innovation District is the largest innovation district in North America. A lot of financial services best practice comes out of the prudent approach that the Canadians through Toronto take to technology and finance, and particularly around fintech. So it makes sense. If you're going to take people in for their first time into this market. But while we're here, we have talked to them about the 10 provinces, the 3 territories, and we have had representation here from Ottawa, from Alberta, from Montreal, and hopefully at future visits, we'll expand beyond.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to host a panel discussion earlier today with 3 businesses who have either ties to Ireland, bases in Ireland, but also in Canada. And one of the things that struck me from that panel conversation was the understanding and appreciation that Canada, you can't just lump North America all together, right? You have to understand that Canada is different. But one of the panelists said that the values of the Canadians mirror the values of Irish businesses, and that means that that symbiotic relationship makes a lot of sense from a business point of view, not just a nice place to hang out kind of place.
Yeah. It is very much about the business piece. We still know at the end of the day, friends do business with friends. You do business with people who are like you and whose values are similar. And it goes beyond the historic roots. It is very much the commercial opportunity. And at your panel and some of the other panels, that was very well presented, the size and scale of the opportunity. The current scale is really good. It's still not known to people. Ireland being the 10th largest investor in Canada is huge. $16 billion worth of trade going back and forward bilaterally is fantastic across professional services and goods. But because of the time that we are in, and because, as people are saying here in Toronto, because of their southern neighbour, mm-hmm, as I whisper slightly saying that, the opportunity is huge. We couldn't if we were to just purely do business with Canada for the rest of our lives, we still would only be scratching the surface of the Canada-US relationship. Even if we weren't in this situation, the opportunity is still there. Yeah. And people talk to us about timing the first night of our trip, thinking, oh, are you and AD really clever getting this timing right? No, we're not. We'd love to say we were.
Yeah.
This was planned back in May. You know, we spoke in November last year.
Yeah.
And I have to say, am I a bit smoke? I'm very smoke here.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, oh yeah, this really proved to be the right thing to do. But what I have really been thinking about in the last day or so as we go through the panels and the meetings, which has been fantastic, facilitated by all of our stakeholders on the ground here, particularly supported by the embassy here, is that we now need to tell this story to whoever we meet. You said at your panel that you acknowledged, and everybody has said, it's an amazing story, we just need to amplify it.
Yeah.
And that's why the beauty of having yourself and Kieran along on the trip is amazing. I've had lots of texts from my peers in Dublin going, oh, you were name-checked today in Ireland, Canada, and the opportunity, and Jess and Kieran. Fantastic. Let's keep going with that. But if you think about 65 CEOs and executives who are in Toronto, in the main for business for the first time, they now need to go and talk to their peer networks. AD stood up and talked about all of his peer networks, who he would talk to. We have business leaders like Neil Nocton, whose family have been doing business here for a long time, who can tell people this is works, this is fantastic, it is the values, it is the way of doing business, and it's a huge opportunity.
One of the other panels, there was talk around, you know, access. So the airports, the routes. I think there's 4 flights a day between Ireland and Toronto. But there's an appetite for increasing that. What impact would that have? And not just out of Dublin Airport, but Cork and Shannon as well.
So obviously, because we're in Ireland, the air access piece is huge. As the Ireland Canada Business Association, we're around since 1978. We have been lobbying for direct air access as much as possible. But it's one thing, often we will achieve the flight, we won't achieve the fact that it's all year round, and that becomes an issue. So when we were taken off from Dublin on Sunday, I was very kindly sponsored by Air Canada to be here, and to see there was an Air Canada, the first Vancouver direct flight of the season, was sitting beside the Toronto plane that I was getting on. I was with the sales manager for Air Canada, Blahin, and Blahin goes, this makes me smile. And I said, this makes me smile too. So we're very lucky. We have Aer Lingus, we have WestJet, we have Transat, we have airlines coming out. But I do think we need to refocus from a national government perspective, particularly how we deal with the airport cap, and particularly a very cohesive approach around how Canadian air travel for business and pleasure is dealt with.
One of the things that myself and Kieran have been talking about just before we go to Boston is the apprehension around getting through the border. Now, we are travelling with our lovely Irish passports. We have the correct visas. So there's an I visa is the one that people who work in media get issued from the embassy in Dublin. And we're both a bit nervous because you're hearing stories, and there's a narrative now that, you know, the land of the free and the home of the brave may not be as welcoming to everybody as it once was. How important is it from Canada's point of view to be welcoming and to offer and to shout about not only its business opportunities, but also its tourism opportunities or its, you know, academic opportunities for students who maybe had been contemplating studying in America? You know, how important is it for Canada to make up the most of what is an uncomfortable and unfortunate situation, but to turn it into an opportunity?
Yes, the Canadians are too humble for their own good. And yeah, it's a great, it's a fantastic quality in many ways. But a lot of what we spoke about in the last few days is the humility now has to be overtaken by stand up and get out there and tell your story, which very much reflects Mark Carney's elbows up type approach. Now, fairness, that has got him elected. And as we know, the meeting with Trump, etc., that's all very important. But we need Canada to literally amplify the fact that things like, and I would go beyond some of the things that you have said there, I would talk about diversity, equality and inclusion. I do a lot of tenders for my day job, and when I look at US companies now, I have to change my language because I know I have to. I don't when I'm dealing with a Canadian company. When we look at the education piece, that's changing. So from a third level education piece, we will absolutely see more students come into Ireland and potentially Canadian ones. So there are going to be so many opportunities. Ambassador Concannon has commissioned a report of all the stakeholders will come together, including ourselves, to pinpoint specifically the opportunities across regions, across sectors, and that is actually going to be a really pivotal document that will lead now to 3 or 4 years of a very cohesive, concentrated plan about how we tackle the market as a whole.
Yeah, that was Deirdre Giblin explaining the opportunities that Canada has to offer. I have more brilliant conversations to bring you from Ireland Gateway to Europe 2025, and I will do so on next week's show because, unfortunately, we are bang out of time. If you have any questions for me, drop me an email, techtalk@newstalk.com. I'll be back in Dublin with Shane and Kira on Monday's News Talk Breakfast. But in the meantime, have a great weekend.
The country's divided and folks just don't agree on much these days. But one thing we can all agree on, teachers bring their all to their students. Every day, no matter what. They are the constant force in their classrooms, bringing compassion, joy, and hope to their students. Together with Donors Choose, let's give teachers a moment they'll never forget. Now is the time to show up for educators. Even a small gift can bring big joy to a teacher near you. Visit donorschoose.org/appreciation and make a donation today.